Let us pray. Dear God, speak to us. Reveal yourself through your word. Let the meditation of our heart be pleasing to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. There was two professional footballers having a serious conversation. Name is Jim and Peter. They love football very much. They can't imagine heaven without football. So they're just thinking, if heaven is meant to be a joyous place, then I love football. That brings me joy. So I can't imagine heaven without football. So they made an agreement. Jim and Peter said to each other, hey, if one of us die first, you need to find a way to let other know if there is a football in heaven or not. Okay? That happened. They retired. Obviously, eventually, Peter died first. And Jim was very sad and devastated because his best friend died, and he couldn't get over losing his best friend. One day, he was asleep. Jim was asleep, and suddenly, something like it's a daydream or a dream or whatever it is, he heard the noise, said, Jim. And he's like, what? Somebody, he was on his own. And he said, Jim, it's me. And suddenly he saw, is that you, Peter? Is that you? Oh, yes, it's me. It's me. I come with a good news and the bad news, he said. And he said, I'm so happy to hear your voice. But tell me the good news. And he said, Jim, that is definitely football in heaven. He said, wow, that's wonderful. He was jumping up and down. He was so happy there is a football in heaven. And then he's come to his terms with, wait a minute, you said there is a bad news. What was that bad news? And he said like this, the bad news is that you have been picked to play on my team this weekend. I come with the good news and the bad news too. So the bad news is, I am not a superhero. Or I'm not a God either, or a savior. I'm an imperfect minister, make mistakes. I'm not here to save you all. I'm here with you, to journey with you along. But the good news is, God works through me and your weaknesses. If we allow God to work through us in our weaknesses, in our decisions, and in our lives, we can fulfill God's purpose for our lives and for the community. And that's the truth. And that's what here I'm standing in the name of God, that we can work together. Even in our weakness, God strengthens us. And that's what we are here for. The story that we heard about Moses, it's one of my favorite passages. I just thought that might be a good thing to start off with. The bad news for Moses is the people he's been leading, they're not trustworthy. They saw all the miracles that God has been doing. Manna from heaven, water from the rock, anything that you could imagine, the miraculous things that God has shown, they received. They know that God has delivered them. Yet, these people keep changing their mind. Because of the struggle they face, because of the wilderness they've been journeying along, they struggled. And in fact, they keep turning against the leader, Moses. And that's what the bad news is. And this is the time, the way that he prayed, the background of that story is they just disobeyed God, because Moses went up to the mountain to talk to God. By the time he comes back, these people couldn't wait. They wanted to something, see God and touch God, or somebody to speak to, or somebody to complain or blame to. So they couldn't see anybody there. So they made a golden calf. Something visible. Something tangible. Something they touch and feel. They couldn't see God in that sense of speaking holiness that he guides us all the way through. Moses got fed up. And that was the bad news. That's the situation we are in. And then the good news is, God promised Moses, hey, I can see you are fed up with here, but I sort out all your problems. Don't worry. I'm sending the angels to sort you out, because you are going to face the problems when you enter into the promised land. There are going to be 6 different kings that are living in there. They are big. They are like bigger than what you imagine. But I sent an angel to defeat them. And I'm going to provide you anything that you need. But one thing, I'm not going to go with you. My angel's going to sort out for you. Moses didn't like that deal. Moses like, what? No. I don't want this deal. You can give me all the blessings that you want. All the blessings in Cana. The milk and honey is growing, everything. But if your presence doesn't go with me, do not send me out from here. And that's a dangerous prayer. And it's a courageous prayer. Why would he pray like that? Show me your ways. I need your presence, he said. Why did he pray? First of all, imagine, the reason I say it is a courageous prayer is, imagine where he's praying from. He's praying from the wilderness in the desert. And he is heading to the promised land where the milk and honey is flowing. Where God promised, I'm going to sort everything out for you. Is that not enough for you? He says, no, I need your presence. If, in a sense, he says, if your presence does not go with me, I would rather stay in the desert. Because where your presence is, there is my joy. There, everything I need. That's what, in essence, he prayed. I'd rather stay in the desert than go into the milk and honey without you, the milk and honey flowing land. And that's, I thought, courageous prayer. You see, the courageous is not the absence of fear. Rather, it's moving forward in spite of fear. That's what we call courage. And same with faith. Faith is not the absence of doubt. It's the courage to believe and move forward in spite of our doubts. That's what the faith is. Moses understood, I need God's presence. Then I have the safety. Safety, again, it's not the absence of problems. It's the presence of Jesus. Presence of God is the safety for us. So here it is. He worked it out. Moses saying, Lord, if you don't come with me, don't take me. And I hope as a church, that's what this new journey, we could pray with Moses same way. Lord, if your presence doesn't come with us, we have lots of good ideas. But if it's not your idea, there's no point in doing it. Because eventually, we'll run out of our energy. Eventually, we run out of our enthusiasm. Eventually, we lose our strength. Eventually, people can see our weaknesses. So, Lord, I need your presence. And that's why I just called out. So, something that if you don't remember me anything, I want to give you this 3 points. Why did Moses pray, I need your presence? He had this kind of 3D view of God's presence. The 3D view, that's just saying, because that's why I need in my life. this 3D view of God's presence. The first D I thought I can say is that he learned that in God's presence is reliable. Next clip, please. Dependable. So that's a dependable God's presence. Because he knew when he saw the people, he couldn't trust the people. Because one time they can praise him, "Oh, you are our hero. We can do anything that you want us to do. We will follow you all the way through because we saw the signs and the miracles and everything. We can see God is with you." But then they change that next day when they are hungry. Almost like me. When I'm hungry, I turn into something different. That's what my wife said, by the way. Yes. And that's what happened for the Israelites. When they're hungry, they change. They turn into monsters. And they're like, "Where is God? Is God brought you?" I mean, they were hungry for cucumber. Did you know that? Did you know that they were hungry for cucumber? That's a bit of a... I couldn't understand. If you're hungry, maybe you're just hungry for McDonald's or something. A burgers. You don't know hungry for cucumber. That desperate they were. In that. So they're hungry and they were cursing God and cursing Moses. "We are dying here in the desert. You brought us back here. We'd rather go back to Egypt." And that's why Moses learned, "I can't rely on the people. I need to trust God." Do you know the only people can let you down are the people that you lean on? Do you know that? The only people who can let you down are the people that you lean on. And that's why Moses chose to lean on God. Because he never lets you down. He is the most dependable person all the way from the beginning till the end. And that's why I want to encourage you. Let's depend. This first D is let's depend on God. Let's cling on to him. He is our source of our strength. He is our source of our future ahead. The people who were supposed to bring a blessing to the rest of the world weren't strong enough or mature enough to survive the stress of the wilderness. We are not strong enough to do everything in our own strength. We can only do with God's strength. And that's why this story reminds us that we trust God, especially when everything around us seems to be crumbling down before our very eyes. When we sink into the depths of despair and uncertainty, that's the time that we should pray like Moses said, "Don't take me out from here unless if your presence come with me." And the second D view of God's presence is his presence when he's with us is distinguishable. You can see the difference because that's what Moses prayed. How else people see that we are different, we are distinguishable from the rest of the world, the rest of the earth, the people? Because you said that you called us by name. If your presence doesn't come with me, how can we be different? Do you know we are called to be different? As much as we are trying to be inside the world and trying to be in the community and everything, we are called to be distinguishable. We are called to be distinct. And that's why he uses the word like salt and the light of the world. Because we are there. Wherever you are mingled, you still can't lose that saltiness. When I play cricket, you know, all sorts of language they speak. And especially in our dressing room, the language they use, and especially the questions they throw at me when I play cricket things. But it's very raw when they ask me questions like, "You know what, can God forgive me this? Because I messed other people's lives so many times. Can really God accept me?" Those are the questions they ask me. And I have to be ready to answer, "Yes, if God can accept me, definitely accept you." And that's the difference wherever you go. Because sometimes we're trying to put different hats on. In our work, we put the work hats on. In our family, we have different hats on. When you come to church, make sure that you put the suits on, dark collar on, present yourself in a different. No, people can suss it out. The only thing would make you distinguishable is when they see you, they see God's presence in you. It's one of my favorite passages. Again, in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, when they saw the disciples, especially when Peter and John, this is what it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, but they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. They didn't recognize those people. They've been with Jesus, not because of the way they dressed, not because which church they go to, not because which job do you do. It's because they saw you as a whole and they saw, hey, they've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. They are the companions of Jesus. That's how they saw with Peter and John. They knew the other side of the life. They are uneducated, they're fishermen. But they declare this bold statement. These people spend time with Jesus. The challenge is for us, can your neighbor, forget about neighbor, can your wife or your husband and your children testify about you saying, you've been with Jesus. You are the companions of Jesus. The way we do, the way we speak, the way we conduct our lives, they should give a testimony saying, these people, I recognize them as the people who spend time with Jesus. That's a challenge. I'm standing here, I mess it up. My biggest testimony is how to live a life in my personal life and in front of my children and my wife. They are the one who can testify that, and the streets and the world. Can they recognize you as the companions of Jesus? Can we live the life like distinguishable? They can separate that. And that's what Moses prayed. How else can people see that we are different? My last point was that he says, next one please, in a different angle. What does that mean? He helps you to see in a different angle. That God's presence helps you to see in a different eyes. Because, you know, sometimes when we go through the difficult times, we see like, where is God in this? You know, we ask ourselves a question, where is God in this? Especially when you are down, when you are hurt, and this, does God remembers me? I feels like he is against me. I feels like, when was the last time I had the presence of God when I was worshiping? When was the last time that God hears my prayer? When was the last time I felt like one with God? I feel like, did God ever forgiven me the past? The hurt that I caused to others? Sometimes we go through that question. And Moses might have thought about, did God really forgive our people? Because they just had the golden calf and everything else. Did God really forgive them? And then ask this question like, okay, you promised me you're with me. Show me your glory. It's like a random question. Show me your glory. And that's something that's like, we don't know. What is that glory involves? But something that Moses prayed, it's just, all right, okay, you know what you're asking for? I don't know. But I'll show you what something that I can do. I'm going to let my goodness go before you. You can see backside of me. I don't think he can cope with my whole glory. He wants to see the evidences. He wants to see the picture. And I say, I'm going to show who I am. That's what God's name is. I am who I am. In other sense, I will be what I will be. In the sense of he's saying, I'm going to show my character, my goodness, go past you. Then you may see what I'm talking about. You can see the backside of me. You can see the footprint of it. So when we ask God, God, come to me, rescue me, do something for me, suddenly, the way God does it, it shows you his faithfulness, how he led you through. Is that experience for you and me? He shows you how far he brought you. I can stand here, I can testify that. Sometimes when we go through the most difficult time in my life, when we had our young Joshua is there. In those times, we don't know how we coped. Especially when he had to go through these big operations, when your child, only 50% a chance of surviving, and everything else. We didn't know how we coped, but now we can look back and say, I can see God's faithfulness. That's how God shows you. He doesn't show you what lies ahead. When we ask God, show up yourself. And he says, let me show you. Let me turn around. Let me show you my footprints. You know the footprints that you see in the sand? It's not yours. It's mine. I've been carried through. I've been carrying you. And that's how God shows you. That's how God lets you know his goodness passing through. And that's an encouragement for us. I don't know what Moses saw. That was good enough for him to pick up and go ahead. That was more than enough for him. That little glimpse of God's backside, more than enough to take up his stuff and just go and follow God until the end. Today, I don't know what questions are you have brought. Maybe pray, God, let me see the glimpse of your glory. Even the little backside, little your footprints. That will help me to move forward. Not stuck in the road like. That will help me to move forward. In the New Testament, it says, we have seen God's glory in Jesus. That's what John's Gospel says. We have seen God's glory in Jesus. We can see the backlight of God's glory. The after effect, if you know what I mean. The after effect, the light. That's what Moses saw in a backside. That glory helped him to go. And the Emmaus Road, the disciples, when they're downhearted, when they were brokenhearted because their hero died and we don't know what to do, and they were walking on the Emmaus Road, they didn't know Jesus until after he's gone. They started to see, oh, my hearts were burning. That's the afterglow of God's glory. You and me, God will let you see that. Let him show you how he brought you through so that he can help you to move forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our circumstances, good or bad, but they are not the measure of your blessings. Our health, our wealth, happiness, security, success, they are not measure of your blessings. Knowing you and living in God's presence are the greatest blessing that Moses chose, and help us to choose. In you, we can find the way, the truth, and the life. In you, we can find ourselves and our purpose. So Lord, as we take one more step, as move forward, Lord, help us to see the glimpse of your glory. Guide us, Lord. We don't want to move forward without your presence, without our knowledge. We need you in our desperation. Come and take your place. As a church, we want to move forward, but help us. Help us to see your glory. Help us to see the way that you reveal your glory that shows your grace. Lord, touch people's heart this morning. Don't let us go home with empty-handed. Let us go with your presence. So that we know what it means to live with your presence. Give us the joy and the peace that we need so that we can bless others who are all that we come across. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.